The Inner Voice Show is a dialogue between the host and the listeners about their relationships. This show is not an attempt to assess, diagnose, or treat any mental health or illness condition. Please consult your physician, psychiatrist, or psychotherapist for personal matters.
Inner Voice. A heartfelt chat with Dr. Fujian.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Inner Voice Show. I'm Dr. Fujian Zain and have Sean in studio. Now, this is a show about what matters most in life: our minds, thoughts, feelings, actions, relationships, and our fulfillment in this beautiful journey of life. Now, in this show, I'll bring you the latest research. How marijuana use may damage some teenage brains. I'm getting that a lot in my office. So when I saw this latest research that is done in Johns Hopkins, it was amazing. I wanted to share it with you. And then I will talk to Dr. Sue Morder, author of The Energy Codes, 7 Steps to Awaken Your Spirit, Heal Your Body, and Live Your Best Life. What can you have better than this? So don't go anywhere. You can also call us on this show. You can talk to me or Dr. Morder, 951-922-3532. We'll be right back.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zain. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Well, let's see. How does marijuana damage some teenage brains? Now, in a study of adolescent mice with a version of a gene linked to serious human mental illness, Johns Hopkins medicine researchers say they have uncovered a possible explanation for how marijuana may damage the brains of some human teens. In a report that will be published in 2019 print issue of the journal Biological Psychiatry, the researchers say they showed that pot exposure increases inflammation in a specific type of brain cell in adolescent mice that carries a rare genetic mutation linked to, are you ready? Schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, and other major psychiatric disorders. In a proof of concept experiment, the investigators then used non-steroid anti-inflammatory drug to suppress the pot-induced inflammation in the brain. Now, the researchers report they were able to prevent marijuana's brain damage in mice that appeared genetically susceptible to the harmful effects. The inflammation seen in mice is probably activated in many people who smoke marijuana, but results may help explain why and how some mice and some people are genetically predisposed to experience an enhanced inflammatory response and brain damage. Now, that marijuana is moving toward widespread legalization and recreational use, it's important to learn more about why it's not harmless to everyone. I've seen this so many with so many teenagers and even adults that they start using marijuana and they're having psychotic episodes. And I haven't seen this a lot through the 28 years that I work with addiction, but I'm constantly seeing it more and more now. And this research kind of explains some of what I've been seeing in my recent years in the office. The researchers are already clear that heavy cannabis use is linked to long-lasting cognitive problems, but only in a percentage of those who use pot during adolescence. The challenge for scientists has been to identify the risk factors that may increase adverse effects of cannabis. Having that information could lead to efficient preventive strategies, building on the knowledge that only a select population of teen pot smokers have later cognitive problems. The researchers chose to experiment with the mouse model of psychiatric illnesses that carries this mutation in the DISC1 gene originally found in a Scottish family with many members diagnosed with schizophrenia, bipolar, and major depression. So the researchers used the mice that make the faulty protein in their brains. When the mice were about 30 days old, the rodent equivalent of a teenager, a human teenager, the researchers injected them with 8 milligram per kilogram of THC, the active chemicals in marijuana responsible for feeling high, every day for 3 weeks, and then somewhat mimicking the exposure from daily smoking during adolescence. Then the researchers stopped the THC exposure for 3 weeks before testing the mice for behavioral and cognitive deficit. And essentially, they let them have their fun as a teenager and then let enough time elapse for them to be an adult, or in the human terms, kind of like be a late 20s, and are living an adult life and may begin to notice cognitive problems. So the researchers say the results indicated poor recognition memory in these mice exposed to marijuana. The effects of the THC on recognition memory in the female mice were less profound than in male mice. So the researchers chose to focus on male mice for remaining experiment. In people also, women appear to have more persistent cognitive effects from smoking marijuana in their teens than do men. And this is a difference they can't really explain at this time. So to find out what particular brain cells might be more responsible for mediating damage from THC and see if tampering down brain inflammation could prevent the memory problems in this mutant mice exposed to THC, the researchers used an anti-inflammatory medication. Adolescent mutant mice were given the anti-inflammatory medication 30 minutes before their injection with the THC. When the mice were older and they were tested, they didn't have memory problems in the cognitive test. So if the results turn out to be applicable to people, they suggest we could develop safer anti-inflammatory treatments to prevent long-term consequences of marijuana use. So being able to identify those who are susceptible and preventing them from partaking in marijuana use is another option for protecting teenage memory. I know that I've seen a lot of shift as I had an outpatient recovery program for many years and have worked with a lot of addiction, but I also work with a lot of teens and have seen obviously an extreme amount of use recently, and with that extreme amount of psychosis and depression afterwards. So my suggestion is to really look at if people want to use marijuana, to start using, utilizing and using it when they're an adult versus a teen. And if you were a parent of a teen and you think, oh, it's okay, everybody does, well, everybody does use. But see if your teen's brain and body can handle that and what type of effects it might have on that. So that's the latest research on that. But don't go anywhere because I'm excited to be able to speak to Dr. Sue Morder. She is an international speaker, master of bioenergetic medicine, and quantum field visionary. Dr. Sue redirects the flow of energy patterns in the body to activate full human potential through her seminars, retreats, presentations, and soon-to-be-released book, The Energy Code. Dr. Sue also illuminates the relationship of quantum science and energy medicine, as well as the elevation of human consciousness and life mastery. Her globally taught energy code coursework teaches individuals how to clear subconscious memory blockage and how to master the energetics of their lives. With more than 30 years of experience as a doctor and facilitator of groups and individuals interested in natural healing and better life, Dr. Sue shares her developments and unique perspective drawn from a life-changing awakening during ancient meditation practices. She's the co-founder of the Bioenergetic Synchronization Technique, BEST, a founder of the Motor Institute for Bioenergetics, an organization committed to teaching individuals self-healing techniques and the new approach to life based on quantum science. With three distinct schools within Mortar Institute, representing the unification and embodiment of mind, body, and spirit, the School of Energy Medicine, School of Body Awake Yoga, and School for Higher Consciousness, the personal development provide tools and avenues to empower and facilitate the global community to discover and embody a joyful and inspired life lived from the true soulful self. Dr. Sue will be releasing her first book, The Energy Code, The 7-Step System to Awaken Your Spirit, Heal Your Body, and Live Your Best Life in March 2019, and we'll be right back with her.
KMET, Banning, Beaumont, Redlands, and Palm Springs.
Hello, listeners. This is Christopher from The Christopher Show. Hey, if you miss one of our shows here at KMET, don't worry about it. You can go to our webpage, and that's KMET1490AM.com. Go to the homepage, click on the SoundCloud tab, and hear any show anytime you want.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan. Dr. Fushan has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fushan, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Check us out online at KMET1490AM.com.
Dr. Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dr. Fujian Zane, and welcome to Inner Voice Show. And I'm excited to have Dr. Sue Mortar with us, the author of the Energy Codes, the 7-Step Systems to Awaken Your Spirit, Heal Your Body, and Live Your Best Life. Welcome to my show, Dr. Mortar.
Thank you so much, Fujian. It is fantastic to be here, and I so look forward to see where we get to go today. I absolutely love these kinds of conversations, so let's dig in. Your lead.
So, you talk about quantum science. What is that? Tell us.
What is quantum science? You know, this is a fabulous time to be alive because science is validating so many things that the spiritual world has known for eons and has been trying to teach. And concepts that kind of drove a division between science and spirituality, because science wants tangible, reproducible results and accountable acclamations. And so quantum science has really come along in the past. It's really been more than 100 years, but it's just now really reaching the mass conscious conversation. And quantum science is actually bridging the worlds between science and spirituality. Basically, quantum science is the study of things smaller than what you can see.
Right.
And it's basically unpacking what the universe is made of, what the physical reality is made of, and what they're discovering is it is energy, that everything is actually energy, that there's no thing, there's only energy packed together so that it looks like it's a thing. And there are beautiful implications regarding all of this, because quantum science has recognized that the power of our minds and the power of our own intention have an influence on how the energy gets packed together. So basically, we are determining the reality that we are living in based upon our mindset, both consciously and subconsciously. We're generating our very reality.
So dispersing the energy from the mind and coming to the central channel, as you say it, is a way of shifting and bringing and kind of being a leader of guiding that energy to the space that we want. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, basically, there are ways that we can get better at managing the energy that runs through our body and runs through our life. And let me just say initially that whatever is happening in our lives is a reflection of what's happening in our own consciousness. And as our own consciousness is deciding how energy runs through our body, it ultimately then determines what happens in our lives. It determines how we think, it determines how we respond to things, how we perceive life, etc. And so if we are scattered and dispersed with our energy, we don't have as much power to shapeshift that movement of energy through our bodies for healing or through our lives for a betterment of our life experience. So the energy codes and the work that I'm teaching is teaching people how to masterfully start to manage the energy that's running through their body, through their system, that is generated as the spirit being, if you will, the soulful self and the mind are collaborating. And as they do, they develop this personality that engages in the world. And that's really how we're all operating. So what we're wanting to do is ground ourselves in the body more specifically so that we can more masterfully manage the movement of this energy intentionally rather than just being chaotically reactive in life.
So the question that comes to my mind, and I know that a lot of people who are listening have that, is how do you define the space between or the distinction between mind and the soulful self? Because as you say, like, we want to move beyond that and have them cooperate. But how do they distinguish between most people, even when they're meditating, they're just like, thoughts just jumping up and down and, you know, having it be. And I was listening to one of your videos and said, most of people in meditation, all thoughts are coming and they're being taught, just let it go, just let it go, just let it go. And yet there's something more in that distinction of what a mind is and a soulful self, or, you know, what you call soulful self is. Can you explain for our listeners how to distinguish between that?
Sure. Our actual identity is awareness. What we really are is just awareness. And our awareness is attached to our mind. Think of it this way. It's as if we land here and we have a rough landing and we kind of splat and disperse, and our mind goes one way and our body goes another way, and it's really messy and sloppy, and our breath goes another way, and the whole spirit is just kind of hanging out, waiting to see if it's even safe to come in here to this world and engage. It's like waiting sometimes for decades. And so in the course of our lives, our job is to get ourselves together. And getting ourselves together means that we pull the mind and the body and the spirit and the breath back together again so that we can feel our wholeness. Otherwise, if we're identified as only one of those pieces or parts, we're always going to feel like something's missing and we're going to feel inadequate in some way, etc. Now, the most common thing that happens with people in that splat is that they kind of land face down and they come up kind of attached to the mind. We think we are the mind, and we're not. So what we first have to do, and the reason that people are encouraged to meditate, is to discover a version of themselves that is not associated with, interwoven, entangled with, the thinking mind that's so busy. Because that thinking mind spins like a ceiling fan with roaring blades overhead so fast that this essential true self who we are, we would never stick our fingers through that ceiling fan. It would cut them off. So we have to learn how to slow down the mind so that we can get out beyond the beliefs that we were inherited or that we have developed along our lives that are based on this feeling of inadequacy or that something is missing or something is wrong. So what we're doing is unattaching from the mind, kind of getting it off of us and taking a look at it and the thinking mind. And the way that we do that is to cultivate the observing mind rather than just being attached to all these thoughts that we think and all these fears that we have and all these stories that we write and how it just goes on and on and on and is incredibly stressful. Our system isn't built for that. So what we're doing is unattaching from the mind. The mind is something that we have, but we think it's who we are. Here's just one example. People will say they listen to spirit or they listen to guidance from within. And the true identity of us would more aptly be attached to the soulful self that has a mind rather than being attached to the mind that has somewhere unbeknownst to it a spirit that one day is going to go on to heaven as soon as we get out of this, you know, mess that we're in. And those kinds of dispositions are very stressful. Yes. So rather than being identified as the mind that has a spirit, the idea is let's learn how to be identified as the spirit that has a mind and has a body that helps it navigate through this life. When we learn to do that, everything changes. Our physiology, our psychology, our entire interpretation and perspective of life begins to change.
Absolutely. So as I hear you, you're talking about the mind as a lot of the thought process that goes on, which takes us and the subconscious belief systems and these stories that we have told, the schemas and the kind of the act that we've created for ourselves, which we live into and then assume that that is myself. And then I act upon and react to the world from the self that I created and call it me. And then there's an essential self or the soulful self that you talk about. Now, as I do the meditation and go through your book and go through your process of calming down the thought process and the fan, finally, something emerges. Can you explain what emerges as this essential self that you call?
Yes. Think of it as the true self versus this false self that I developed in an attempt while I was identified as the mind and feeling afraid and based in duality, which the mind is. So every time I'm safe, just a moment from now, I could be unsafe because right. of duality. Things are good. In just a moment, they could be bad. You follow? So that land of duality is a very frightening place to live. So once we pull it back together and merge mind and body and breath back together again, what begins to happen is a unified energy occurs within our own system. And as that unified consciousness that's woven back together again, now merging mind and spirit in the body is breath. So while we're in a body, we show up as the spirit being through the breath in the body. So the more comprehensively and deeply and calmly we are breathing, the more we are identified with the true vibrational frequency of something that's not attached to these stories that we write and this stressful world that's out there. So what begins to emerge is the true self, the woven integrated self that has the capacity to know what it needs to know when the need arises, rather than being addicted to needing to know ahead of time like the mind is. The mind needs to know, the mind needs to control. The mind is obsessive about things because it basically is based in fear, and we want it to be based and grounded in a more secure space by letting it know that it's not alone, weaving it back together with the body and the breath so that it's a team effort basically that is perceived. So when the mind is based in duality, and operating on its own, it's a very dangerous thing. And so we're allowing it to be tethered to something deeper, stronger, more unwavering and absolute, like the true self is. So the true self has an unlimited resource. It's constantly streaming energy from truly a cosmic level, that all of the energy of the universe is basically just folding together and compressing and compressing. And this is a law of quantum science. And actually, it's a law of linear physics, that everything physical is just compressed energy. So we take this infinite field of cosmic energy and universal intelligence, and we start packing it together in such a fashion that we create a physical version of ourselves. We bring ourselves into the physical dimension, and here we are. So this physical being is just energy, but it is energy that is packed together, looking to be a physical item, if you will. So what we're doing is awakening at that level of energy so that everything begins to unpack again, and we're no longer just identified with one part or the other. Rather, we're operating as a unified presence that is made of this universal intelligence. And now that's what starts to rise. In order to answer your question, what rises is an individual point of consciousness that is part of a whole system, a whole big being, a universal mind. So we're more comfortable and confident that we have what we need, we have unlimited resource, and all we have to do is tap that and bring it forward in any given situation. And everything works in a flow and in our favor. And it's a much different reality to be living in.
So this is what I'm hearing. These things are coming up as you're talking to me, and I have 100,000 more questions.
Awesome.
So, this is what I'm hearing. And correct me if that's not the case. So I am an energy, completely an energy, but when I'm caught into the thought and the mind and the fear and all of the emotions that are coming up with attachment to that, then I'm spending this energy. My energy is being spent on all of these daily interferences and blocks and issues and reactivity. But when I calm down my thought, and allow the space to calm down, then the energy allows, then I'm allowing actually to receive energy and connect to the bigger energy versus constantly being spent and giving it away, or, you know, not having enough of it because I'm just dealing with the daily activity through the way I'm perceiving it. But then I allow the source, which is the energy, to connect with the bigger picture. So I keep recreating the self from a bigger place. Am I hearing it right?
Perfect.
Hey,
yes.
I got it. I got it, by golly, I got it.
Yes. Let me give just a little bit of a picture, an image that might be helpful. If we take this universal resource that's unlimited and we compress it into a stream, we are actually a stream of that big field, that big ocean. We're like the Gulf Stream inside of the big ocean. And so that stream, if we remain collected and not spending and splatting and dispersing our energy, if we remain collected, we have an unlimited resource of energy. If we step out of that stream in the splat and we become this bubble, this separate self over here, if we're operating inside of a separate bubble as a separate self, which most people perceive themselves to be, they basically feel like, look, if I don't make it happen, who's going to? I have to get up every day and shoulder this burden and go make it happen, and it's up to me. And it's not exactly like that. Yes, we have to be focused and intentional, but it isn't all up to the individual self. So this bubble is going to use up its limited resources. This stream is never going to use up its resources because it's constantly being replenished. It's constantly flooding in. All we have to do is learn to build the circuitry to stay in the stream no matter what, and not splat again or disperse and jump out here as a separate self trying to make it work. So as
how do you do that?
Everything changes. Pardon?
How do we do that?
How do we do that?
Yes,
I wrote a book about how to do that.
That's where we're going to go. We're going to read the book to get that. But before we get the book, let's give us a general idea, especially since part of the block, part of getting ourselves out there and put ourselves in a bubble is usually usually, something happens that we are hurt, we are pissed off, we feel betrayed, we feel that the world did not show us what we wanted to, it didn't fulfill our expectation, and then kind of like retrieve and go into a space and try now to, instead of living our life, to kind of like surviving our life for the rest of our life. So when we put these things in the subconscious mind, and then they keep coming back to close us down because we're afraid to be who we are, in a sense. How do you remove from your model, how do you remove those subconscious blocks and open yourself back up to coming to this type of a stream that you're talking about?
Beautiful. Great question. So as we're operating as the separate self, the obvious thing to do is start removing the blockages that are between us and the stream, right? To remove
right.
those blockages. And so there are many ways that we can go about doing that. And I also want to say that the majority of the practices that I am teaching people are designed to move you toward the stream. And as you begin to identify as the stream, many of those blockages that have been holding us out separately dissolve automatically because it is a vibrational difference. It's a different radio station. It's like we don't have to continue to go one by one in a linear fashion and clear up block after blockage after blockage after blockage. We can just zip the whole thing off by jumping into this stream. We just have to learn how to jump into the stream. So there are techniques that I teach people how to remove the blockages so that the idea of thinking more positively and a sense of well-being and a better sense of self and a higher self-esteem become more evident over time. And we change our habits and change our beliefs, of course, as a byproduct of that. And the quantum world would love us to just let it change in an instant. And so that's what one of the things that quantum science is showing us is that we don't have to go from A to B to C to D to get to E, that we can actually go from A to E in an instant, in a flash. And that's actually what we living in the linear separate self world would consider a miracle. But actually, miracles are possible if we would allow ourselves to live in the arena where they actually happen. And that's the quantum world. So we have to bring our consciousness into this quantum idea. Like, what's it mean to be a quantum being? And what does it mean to not have to go through step by step by step to create change? So the real thing that I would love to share with everyone is how to begin instantly starting to operate in the central channel core of your being, of your body, because inside there is where the highest concentration of energy is. And that's where we can make the most difference the quickest. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. So everyone, don't go to another radio station right now. Stay here. Later on, we'll show you how to do that and get a quickie. You get a package deal. Instead of going step by step by step, you can actually go zip through. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with Dr. Sue Mortar.
Have you ever wished you could just wake up one day, reach across your nightstand, and hit the life reset button? Let's face it, the struggles and frustrations of everyday life leave millions of women and men around the globe yearning for a new way. And the new way is right here in Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want by Dr. Fujian Zane. You can get it now at Fujian.com or Amazon.com. Life Reset, the awareness integration path to create the life you want. You deserve it.
Hello, listeners. This is Christopher from The Christopher Show. Hey, if you missed one of our shows here at KMET, don't worry about it. You can go to our webpage, and that's KMET1490AM.com. Go to the homepage, click on the SoundCloud tab, and hear any show anytime you want.
Dr. Fujian Zane is a psychotherapist, a marriage and family therapist, and a life coach with more than 27 years of experience. She is the author of the Awareness Integration Model, which has been researched and published in numerous international journals. Dr. Fujian has offices in Beverly Hills, Irvine, and Woodland Hills, California, and also consults online and by telephone. Make an appointment with her today by calling 818-648-2140 or go online to www.fujian.com. That's www.fujian.com.
Join the conversation every Monday afternoon at 3 p.m. Pacific for Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian. Dr. Fujian has a direct approach to getting you to free your mind. Inner Voice is a live call-in show where you can chat about your life and all that matters to you in your relationships. Inner Voice Heartfelt Chat with Dr. Fujian, Monday afternoons at 3 p.m. Pacific on Smart Talk, KMET, 1490 AM, and on the Internet Stream.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Dr. Fujian Zane, and I'm talking to Dr. Sue Mortar, the author of The Energy Codes, The 7-Step Systems to Awaken Your Spirit, Heal Your Body, and Live Your Best Life. So, Dr. Mortar, we've been talking about quantum energy, the body, the way it heals itself, the way we can be the energy itself. We could connect it to a bigger stream and not get bogged down with the conversation of the mind only and to restrict our energy. So tell us more.
Beautiful. So yes, this stream is really important. And it's important to know that it's not just some concept out there, some stream of consciousness I'm supposed to tap into. The stream of consciousness runs right down through the core of your body. It's right here and accessible. In fact, it's the real you. You are the energy being that is streaming down through what this vehicle that you created is. And that vehicle is just designed to carry you around the surface of the planet while you're here engaging, evolving, awakening yourself in all kinds of new ways. So I explain all kinds of things about that in the book, but I'd love to just share a little image that I think is really helpful for people to start to understand. So for those of you that are viewing, I want you to see this. And those of you that are just listening, I'm going to describe to you what I'm showing. So basically, there is a channel that runs right down through the central core of the body, from above your head, down through the center of your brain, through the center of your chest, your heart, through the center of your gut, right down through the tip of your spine and down all the way to the earth. And
is that what we call chakras?
It runs down through the chakras and hits the earth and turns back and starts to rise right back up through them. And so that is a central channel that we want to bring our attention to and breathe through it as if we're bringing some life into it. We're breathing some life into that channel. Because until we pay attention to it, we're not really specifically breathing life into that area. So we know our consciousness activates things. And when we start to bring our consciousness into this central channel, it starts to activate the chakras and bring them online, as well as many other things. It changes our chemistry, changes our brain function, does all kinds of things to improve digestion and our immunity, etc. And I just want to show an example for those of you that can see this. And I'm going to describe it for those of you that can't. If we come down through the body and it hits the earth and starts to rise up again and come back up through the body, if there are areas of our own system that we're not really awake in, that we don't really have, we're not really good at, maybe we're not good at communication, or we're not so good at relationships, or we're not so good at really having abundance flow in our lives, or at least we haven't learned how to yet. That is represented on this image as these obstacles that exist along the way. And as the energy is rising, it has to traverse around those obstacles. And so it picks up a wobble as it's rising. And that wobble creates a distortion in the energy field around the body, because that energy comes from above your head, down through the body, hits the earth, rises back up through the body, comes out the crown of your head and around the outside of the body, and it recycles and recycles and recycles. It's constantly being replenished, and it's constantly recycling. And if we don't have all the circuitry in place to let it rise without a wobble, it creates a distortion in that field as it flows around the body. Then we live inside that energy field, and when we look out from there, life looks distorted. It looks like it's not kind. It looks like there's not enough. It causes us to be afraid, and it causes a distortion in our thinking and supports the distortion in our thinking. And so it allows us to continue to believe that we're not enough, or that life isn't fair, or that it will never work out for us. And so what we're doing is learning how to move into the central channel of the body so that our breath can help pick up more momentum of that energy flowing and allow it to shoot up and down through there and break through these blockages that were laid there one at a time, year after year, over the course of your life, continually validating your inadequacy or your insufficiency or your fear of those things, rather, and affirming this false story as if it's true. So we're coming into the core, piercing through those blockages and allowing a straighter rise and fall of this energy through our system so that the distortion comes out of the energy field. And the next thing you know, we're seeing people are more friendly to us. More possibilities happen to be showing up in our lives for some reason, because those high frequency possibilities can now find you instead of having to weave their way through the distorted field. The distorted field, they just slide right in through the perfection of the grid the way it's supposed to be. Now, I explain all that much more in the book, but I just want us to have a basic understanding that by bringing my concentration to the central core channel of my body, I can start to change everything in an instant. And so I'd love to just kind of walk everybody through a little exercise to teach them how to begin the process of gathering themselves back from the splat and anchoring themselves square off in the center of their body where this true self resides. Because it's the false self out there in all that wobble that's occurring. It's the false belief that I'm not enough, or there's not enough, or there's no possibilities for me because I wasn't born into the circumstances where opportunities exist, or I'm too old, or I'm too young, or I'm too whatever.
All beautiful. Of that. Now, can people do it while driving, or should they just, if they're driving, just kind of park on the side right now?
Yeah, they can do it while they're driving.
Yay!
While they're driving.
All right, I'm ready.
So in fact, it makes you more alert. It brings you more present with this moment. In fact, if you're ever upset and you're driving down the road thinking about work and thinking about that situation in your relationship or with your kids or whatever the case may be, if you do what I'm about to share with you, all of a sudden, you won't be able to get as upset as you were just a moment ago, because you're now filtering that energy in a more concentrated fashion, and it's starting to pierce those veils right away. Those obstacles are starting to dissolve. And so all of a sudden you feel like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to deal with it, but I know I'm going to deal with it. I don't know exactly what's going to turn out, but I know it's going to be better than it was a minute ago. It changes our perspective.
The question is, can we do it in less than 10 minutes?
Less than 10 minutes. Absolutely.
Let's go. I'm ready.
Let's do it. Okay. So there are some muscles in the base of your pelvic bowl, okay, just in the base of the pelvis, in the perineum, that it's kind of like the musculature. If you were going to the bathroom and you had to stop the stream, you'd have to squeeze certain muscles to make this happen. Ladies, it's like a Kegel exercise, if you're familiar with that. You just squeeze those muscles. Now, the next thing I'm going to invite you to do is to bring your shoulder blades closer together and drop them down. And inside the center of your chest, just kind of compress it as if you were also doing a push-up or something at the same time, or lifting a barbell off your chest. You'd have to contract your pectoralis muscles. Just come inside your chest and give your heart a hug. Not your heart muscle, but the center of your chest where your loving, compassionate, giving heart space is. Okay? Now, constrict your throat just a little bit so that you can breathe and you can hear your breath, kind of like a Darth Vader breath, okay? So that you can, almost like a snore. And now, one last thing. Roll your eyes up and feel the tension behind your eyes. That tension behind your eyes is creating a plumb line that starts over the top of your head, down through the central channel that I described earlier. But now you're just contracting some tissues in the core of your body along that central channel so that you can start to feel where that channel is. So you contract those muscles in the pelvic bowl and then relax them. Contract them, and then relax them.
Okay. I was holding everything.
No, you can hold it all together at once eventually, but let's just do them one at a time because it's a lot to learn in a second. But it's not that difficult. Once you learn how to do this, it will change everything. So squeeze those muscles and then release them. Squeeze them and release them. Squeeze them and release them. Now, squeeze the muscles in the center of your chest around your heart. Squeeze it. Make yourself small from side to side and front to back. And then release it. And then squeeze it. And then release it. And squeeze it. And then release it. Easy enough. Now, let's all just like breathe as if we're about to snore so that we can hear that vibration in the throat. And we can feel it moving. Like a Darth Vader, like in the Star Wars movies, okay? Now, relax that. Now, roll your eyes up and feel the tension behind your eyes. You can feel that.
If you're driving, please go aside.
Yeah, keep looking at the road. Like, well, you can do that, the eye part later. That's a good idea there, okay? So now, just take a breath from above your head and breathe right down into that squeezed heart as if you're hugging your heart. Constrict the muscles in your throat so you can feel it and breathe in your belly. When you take a breath in your belly, make the belly get big. And then exhale, make the belly get small. And then inhale, make the belly get big. And then exhale, make the belly get small. And inhale, big belly, exhale, small belly. That's the way we're supposed to breathe. Now, if you contract that Mula Bandha, that root lock at the base of the pelvic bowl, like the Kegel exercise, you will start to feel energy come from around you and center in the channel and anchor right in your own hips and the base of your spine and in the below your belly, just low in the navel, where your deep wisdom is, where your gut feelings rise from. When you take a big breath there, down this central channel, it starts to take this wobbly, distorted energy field and line it up, and it starts to concentrate it in the central channel of your body. From there, when you breathe from below where you're sitting in the earth up to the core of your body and then exhale out the top of your head and then you inhale from above your head down through that channel to the heart and core of your body and then exhale down into the earth beneath where you sit and then you just repeat inhale up to the core and exhale out the top of your head. And then inhale from overhead to the core of your body and exhale into the earth. What you begin to do is establish a greater, more potent central channel. You create photon density and electron spin and all kinds of things that affect the tissues, and your sensory nervous system can get a different feel for who you are. And you will not be distracted and dispersed back into that story that you're in nearly as much as you were. The next time someone upsets you, lock down these four anchor points and start breathing up and down the central channel. While you're in the conversation, you watch. Everything will change.
They will change when they see your eyes going up and they have no idea what's going on. You might not look attractive when as you're looking at us doing this, but I promise you.
So don't do the eye roll. Do the eye roll out. They'll think you're rolling your eyes at them. Let's do that part later when you're practicing on your own. Like, oh, God, no, don't do that one.
Yeah.
We'll do the eyepiece later. Really, just Mula Bandha and start breathing in your belly. And just know that there's a breath coming down that central channel. And then you add on the other pieces when you can.
Yeah.
And it will start to change how the energy flows through your body, which will start to change how you think, which then in turn changes how the energy flows through your life.
Right. And you come back to being conscious of who you are, as I hear you, versus getting caught into the game of the other person who's in front of you or the game you're playing with them.
Right.
That you come back to your core self and you kind of like ground yourself and you are taking the energy and being with yourself and then coming from an intentional place maybe rather than the reactional place that your ego is trying to survive it. Got it.
That's the key.
Beautiful.
And more and more begins to develop in our lives after that. But that's a great place to start.
How many times per day should we exercise this or to practice it?
You know, every breath that you take should be a belly breath. Every breath that you take should be a belly breath. And then your awareness starts to build that. Just imagine that you're breathing breath down from the top of your, above your head, right down through the soft spot in your head as a newborn baby has that still open. Just imagine it's still open for you and you're breathing it and accepting it right into your heart and dropping down into your belly and letting it be for you, letting it be a nurturing breath. So you're breathing all day long and this is an exercise
Hopefully.
That you can do all day long. You should be breathing all day long. We hold our breath. That's one of the things you do when you're attached to the mind. You hold your breath because you don't feel safe. So you start belly breathing and doing this central channel, and you're sending a message to the subconscious that says, all is well. We are not under attack. When we breathe up here in our upper lobes of our lungs, it activates the nervous system to think that we're under attack. So it responds. If you breathe in your belly, it stimulates the nervous system, the parasympathetic part of the unconscious, and it sends a signal that says, coast is clear. All is well.
Beautiful. So where can people find you? Your courses, your classes, your book, everything about you. Please let us know.
Countless CDs and DVDs and all kinds of support materials. We have the book that is launching March 19th, and we have so many courses that you can attend. So they come to the website to find out all that information, and we have a whole team of support ready to help answer whatever questions that you have. And that website is drsuemorter.com, drsuemorter.com. And there's plenty there for you in the store, and just peruse yourself around. It's designed to take you on a guided tour of all things possible in the quantum world and mastering your own life.
So the last concept that you haven't shared and you want everybody to know that you've been holding or inside that has been waiting to come out and get everybody's ears.
You know what I would really like the whole world to know is that nothing is broken, nothing is missing, and nothing is wrong. You are whole and complete exactly as you are. And if you are not having the experience of that version of you, it is only a circuitry issue. And we need to learn how to build more circuits inside of our system so that we can perceive our wholeness every day.
Beautiful. So true. And it resonates. I think, you know, when we hear the truth, it resonates in ourselves, and it resonates in a way that it's peaceful. And I think everyone, I'm assuming that everyone wants to hear it at least. They may not believe it. They might have hurt or something that holds them from believing what's coming. But from a secret wish, every one of us wishes for that to be true. And why not experience it? Why not practice it? Why not, feel the energy that is coming and utilize it and be it? And thank you for coming to the show. Thank you for sharing your wisdom and your art and your science and your own experiences with all of us. And I hope that everyone who's listening or watching us has really taken that into their hearts and bodies. So thank you for being with us.
It's my great pleasure.
Wonderful. Bless For everybody who is out there listening to us, create a fantastic life for yourself and everyone around you. I'll be here next week. We'll be together for Christmas. Bye-bye, everybody. Oh.